to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Monday, January 7th, 2019. I'm Zach Hall. CES week has arrived, and there's already a lot of Apple news out of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Apple usually has a behind-the-scenes role at CES, and this year that's still generally true, but it started the weekend off with a giant iPhone banner ad on the side of a Las Vegas hotel. The ad is mostly all black with an iPhone XS outlined and the line, "What happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone," in bold letters. A play on the Las Vegas motto, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." The billboard points viewers to apple.com/privacy, touting a contrast with Apple's competition at CES. Apple has also reportedly organized demos of HomeKit smart home technology to press from a variety of companies, including Belkin, Kwikset, Nanoleaf, and Natatmo. 9 to 5 Mac's Michael Stieber is on the ground at CES this week in Las Vegas, and we've already seen a number of notable HomeKit announcements over the weekend. The biggest announcement is a change to AirPlay 2 that Apple announced on its AirPlay website. Starting with new TVs, Apple says leading TV makers are integrating AirPlay 2 into their TVs, and supported TVs will show up in the Home app. AirPlay 2 will add new video features, like the ability to send video to TVs directly with Siri commands, and playback controls will appear on the iPhone lock screen with progress bars and volume control offered. Apple says it expects new TVs with AirPlay 2 to launch around spring. Samsung has been first to announce an AirPlay 2 smart TV, and Samsung says it will also include a new iTunes, movies, and TV shows app, previously only available on Apple TV streaming boxes. Vizio has also announced support for AirPlay 2 and HomeKit on its SmartCast-enabled TVs for later this year. And also in the HomeKit space is a big finally, with Robin Telecom claiming to offer the first HomeKit-enabled doorbell with its ProLine doorbell. Robin Telecom made the announcement on Friday and is currently inviting customers to sign up to learn more about launch details. Meanwhile, a better option may be from Natatmo, which has also announced a HomeKit-compatible doorbell that's expected to be ready in the second half of 2019. HomeKit doorbells have been supported by Apple for years, but Apple hasn't certified a shipping doorbell camera to work with HomeKit yet. And IKEA appears ready to launch its smart blinds system next month, with HomeKit support included. The system would start around $100 and rival much pricier options from Lutron. And speaking of Lutron, one thing I'm looking forward to being announced this week is a rumored ceiling fan controller that would work with HomeKit. You can add a dimmer switch to ceiling fans now, but motored ceiling fans can't be identified as fans in the Home app using this method, which means you can't change speed or spinning direction, and controlling groups of lights can interfere. Also in the HomeKit space this week is a shower system called You by Moen. The company says HomeKit support should arrive to the shower controller sometime this quarter. And Eve has announced a pricey but attractive new HomeKit power strip, along with a new line of light strips. Belkin is expanding its Wemo HomeKit switch lineup with new options. And Fibaro is similarly launching new smart home outlets. And in the HomeKit security camera space, Arlo is expanding its HomeKit support to its non-baby monitor HomeKit security cameras, including a new 4K Ultra model. Stay tuned for much more CES news throughout the week on 9 to 5 Mac. And also happening today is Apple's response to reports that new iPad Pros bend easily, sometimes even out of the box. The company has detailed its new manufacturing process for iPad Pros and invited customers to return or exchange affected iPad Pros that may be bent. We've also seen new renders of what claims to depict the iPhone 11 prototypes with a massive rear camera system with three lenses, up from two. And finally, Pandora has updated its Apple Watch app to work with offline music playback, beating Spotify to the punch. And since it's Monday, let's catch up with Bradley Chambers and his weekend columns.
Thanks, Zach. So this weekend, I was looking at two different topics. On Saturday, I was looking at what it's going to be like teaching Swift Playgrounds again this year. On January 7th, which is likely the day you're listening to this, I kick off a quarter of teaching this to some of our students at school. And so, you know, had some thoughts from my time last year. And one of the big things I'm changing this year is we've added some of the robots you can program with Swift Playgrounds to our curriculum. One of the things I noticed last year is about lesson four, some of the students got, you know, pretty frustrated. The difficulty does ramp up quickly in Swift Playgrounds. I think it's a great curriculum, and it's free. I think it's one thing to remember. But it's a really great curriculum. But especially for the age of students that I'm working with, they're 10, 11-year-olds, it got difficult quickly for some students. And you know, I think it's especially for ones that didn't naturally love coding as some of the other ones did. And so I'm hoping the addition of these robots can help keep students interested. And one of the things for our, kind of our final assignment they'll be doing is I'll be having a map drawn out on the floor, and they'll have to figure out the coordinates to program the robot in using Swift, you know, language to let it move through the course. So I'm looking forward to it. And on Sunday, I looked at, you know, what I think is a dangerous strategy by Apple with HomeKit and Apple Home. I think 2018, the theme for HomeKit would be that we're all waiting for something new. And while Apple, I feel like, has just slowly been moving along with its HomeKit strategy, I think that Google and Amazon have really kicked up the, you know, the speed. You know, we still don't have a doorbell camera on the market from anything that works with HomeKit. Now, we've seen some reports of some things that are coming, but you know, this is after Nest has had one for a while. Amazon has their Ring doorbell. There are multiple options out there. You know, we've seen you know, Nest put out brand new products. We've seen Google put out brand new products that all tie together nicely, such as the Google Home Hub, which I, you know, I've heard great reviews about. And then again, obviously, Amazon has made it their mission in life to make sure there's an Echo Dot in every single room. They've written incredible deals around the holidays that I found on 9to5 Toys. And, you know, we're sitting over here looking at Apple, and they've got a really expensive home speaker with the HomePod, which is a great speaker, but it is not a comparison to the Echo Dot. I mean, we really wanted to put a speaker in one of our kids' rooms, and we ended up with an Echo Dot just because the cost was a lot less. And now it has Apple Music integration, which is great. And, you know, we just wanted one of our kids to be able to turn on their nighttime sound machine from, you know, via, you know, an app or their voice. And we wanted the ability for him to listen to some music. And the Echo Dot fit that perfectly. Now, again, I know people listening think, oh, Amazon's, you know, listen to everything you say, et cetera, et cetera. I get that totally. But I think that makes it even more important for Apple to really flesh out its hardware and software strategy here. One thing that I mentioned in the article is that if I was in charge of HomeKit at Apple, is I would really start an aggressive Works with Siri campaign. And that's what I would make it kind of, you know, the heart of it be. I love the Home app too, but I think, you know, when you see it on your phone, most people have no idea what that is. And so I would really start an aggressive Works with Siri campaign, and then I would figure out a way to get some smart speakers on the market for $100 or less. I'm not saying Apple's going to match them, you know, at the $40, $30 price point. But when I was walking around Costco around Christmas time, I noticed that the prevalence that, like, you know, Google and Amazon had with their products. They just have more products on the market. They're more aggressive with their marketing. And I think it's working. I've talked to multiple people that picked up Echo Dots like me, you know, getting in them in every room. And I talked to multiple people that picked up Google Home Hubs as well, you know, just in the kitchen for recipes. And then we look at Apple strategy, and it's just moving very slowly. I would love to see them have a better presence at CES than they have. We had an article over the weekend about how they have a big billboard outside of CES talking about privacy. And I think there's an aspect of that that's true. And if privacy continues to become more and more important, I think Apple's home strategy will benefit from that. But I don't think that the only reason that Apple should really work, you know, aggressively to grow Apple Home is just, you know, on a privacy pitch. I think it should just be a great platform, and I think it is, and I prefer HomeKit. I love the app. I love how it all works together. I think it's the cleanest app. I've used all of the ecosystems. I think it's the cleanest and easiest experience, but consumers are going to go where it's the cheapest most often. And I think we've seen with Apple is it doesn't have to be the absolute cheapest, but they've got to be in the ballgame. I think it'd be like trying to, you feel like it's trying to sell someone a 5K iMac or a Chromebook. And yes, the 5K iMac is better, but if a Chromebook suits your needs, it's just so much cheaper. So let me know what you think in the comments on both the articles. I'm particularly interested in your comments on the Apple Home one. And if you feel Apple is moving too slowly there. Thanks.
Read those stories and more on 9to5Mac.com and subscribe to 9to5Mac Daily in Apple Podcast or Overcast to receive new updates throughout the week.